Krishna, dear devotees, I once again welcome all of you to the Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Thank you so much for joining today to this session. And today the Bhagavatam class will be given by His Grace Nityananda Prabhuji. And so before moving to the next session, I would like to hand over the call to Raj Prabhuji to give brief introduction on His Grace Nityananda Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Raj Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranams, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your time and association. And thank you so much for joining the call. Hare Krishna.
Pranam to you and all the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Shri Guru and Gauranga. Here's a brief introduction for our very dear His Grace Nityananda Prabhuji. Nityananda Prabhuji is a senior brahmachari from Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. His Grace Nityananda Prabhuji originally hails from Ramanathapuram, Rameshwaram, Tamil Nadu. He joined the ashram at very young age of 19. He served for a decade in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple and then studied under the auspices of Srila Prabhupada's disciple, His Grace Gopi Paranadhan Prabhuji, for 3 years. He preaches in English and Tamil language. This is a very brief introduction for Prabhuji. Over to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Dhanuva Pranam.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving such a brief introduction about Nityananda Prabhuji. And devotees, I don't think that Prabhuji is joined yet. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving a valuable time and association today. Can you hear me, Prabhuji? Prabhuji, you are muted. Muted. You are muted, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association today for enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam from Canto 6, Chapter 5, Text 27 and 28. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, and we are waiting for the Nectarian class. You can take over the call, Prabhuji, and you are muted now, Prabhuji. Please unmute and go ahead. Hare Guru. Yes.
चैतन्यमनोद्भिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं शिशुरो श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण गुणान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधा कान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये नमो ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणि निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणि पाञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaurav Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. So 6, chapter 5, 27-28. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayete krishthaprayesho bhadresho Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhuttir Bhavati Rishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Abhaksha kata chinmasan katichit ayubhojanaha arathyan matram imam abhyasyantaida patim Om namo narayanaya purushaya mahatmane pushtasatvaya dishnyaya mahahamsaya dhimahi Abhakshaha katichinmasan katichit vayubhojanaha aradhayan mantram imam abhyasyantaidaspatim Om namo narayanaya purushaya mahatmane shuddha sattvadishnyaya mahahamsaya dhimahi Abhakshaha kata chinmasan katichit vayubhojanaha aradhayan mantram imam abhyasyanta idaspatim Om namo narayanaya purushaya mahatmane vishuddha sattvaya krishnaya mahahamsaya dhimahi Synonyms Abhakshaha, drinking only water. Katichit masan, for some months. Katichit, for some. Vayubhojanaha, merely breathing or eating air. Aradhayan, worship. Mantram imam. This mantra which is non-different from Narayana. Abhyasyantaha, practicing. Idah patim. Master of all mantras, Lord Vishnu. Om, O Lord, Namaha, respectful obeisances. Narayanaya, and to Lord Narayana. Purushaya, the Supreme Person. Mahatmane, the exalted super soul. Vishuddha Sattva Dishnyaya, who is always situated in the transcendental abode. Mahahamsaya, the great swan-like personality of Godhead. Dhimahi, we always offer. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. For a few months, the sons of Prajapati Daksha drank only water and ate only air. Thus, undergoing great austerities, they recited this mantra. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated in His transcendental abode. Since He is a Supreme Person, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Him. Purport. from these verses, it is apparent that the chanting of the Maha Mantra or Vedic mantras must be accompanied by severe austerities. In Kali Yuga, people cannot undergo severe austerities like those mentioned herein, drinking only water or eating only air for many months. One cannot imitate such process. But at least one must undergo some austerity by giving up four unwanted principles, namely illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Anyone can easily practice this tapasya, and then the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra will be effective without delay. One should not give up the process of austerity. If possible, one should bathe in the waters of Ganges or Jamuna, or in the absence of Ganges and Jamuna, one may bathe in the waters of the sea. This is an item of austerity. Our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore established two very large centers, one in Vrindavan and another in Mayapur, Navadvip. There one may bathe in Ganges or Jamuna, chant Hare Krishna mantra, and thus become perfect, return home back to Godhead. Just few second. Hare Krishna. Thank you for inviting me for this wonderful association once again. My pleasure and happiness to be with all of you discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we are discussing sixth canto, the prescribed duties of mankind. Chapter 5. Abhakshaha kadichin masan kadichit vayibhojanaha aradhayan mantra imam abhyasyant idaspatim om namo narayanaya purushaya mahatmane vishuddhasattadishnyaya maha hamsaya dhimahi. So this is a wonderful prayer offered towards Supreme Personality of God. So, Daksha Prajapati, who is a progenitor of the mankind, he begotten thousands of sons and he wanted to engage them in his family service to Krishna, that is out of creating progeny. So in order to create something wonderful, there is a principle of austerity and there is a principle of purification. So he sends to a great place called Narayana Saras, where Saraswati River joins the Arabian Sea, and there Narada Muni meets the sons of Daksha Prajapati and he instructs them on the path of pure devotional service and he gives them the mantra which is mentioned in this verse, Om Namo Narayanaya Purushaya Mahatmane Vishuddha Sattvaya Dishnyaya Mahahamsaya Dhimahi. So this mantra is given by Narada Muni as a spiritual master. And not only they are chanting the mantra, but also they are performing austerities. What kind of austerities? Abhakshaha katichin masan. Katichin masan. For few months they are only taking water. Appu means water. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumi Rappo Annalo Vayu. Bhumi Appo. Appu means water. So Abhakshaha. So they are drinking only water for some time. And then that also they stop. Katichit Vayu Bhojanaha. For some time they are drinking only water. And this austerity is they are doing, but not just a dry austerity, but they are also, along with the austerities, their purpose of austerity is culminated in Aradhayan, Aradhana, worshipping. Whom they are worshipping? They are worshipping Supreme Lord Shri Narayana, Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. How they are worshipping? Aradhayan, mantra mima, with the specific mantra, they are worshipping Krishna. So they are worshipping Krishna. Who is Krishna? Idas Patim. Idas Patim. Pati means master. Radha Pati, Sita Pati, Loka Pati. So Pati is the master. Who is Idas Pati? Ida means sacrifice, or the Vedic literatures, Vedic mantra. So the Lord who is glorified by the Lord of the Vedic mantras, Idas Pati. Abhyasyanta. Abhyasanta means they are doing abhyas. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. That one should practice. By practice comes perfection. So what kind of practice they are doing? Aradhyan. So practice of worshipping. So Aradhyan Idas Patim. They are worshipping the Lord of the mantras, Krishna. But the worship is not in a spontaneous way in the beginning. Abhyasyanta, they are practicing the worship. How they are worshipping the Lord of the mantras? By chanting the mantras. Mantra mimam. So the first shloka is very simple. I see the shloka. Abhakshaha, drinking only up water. Kadichin masam, few months. Vayu bhojanaha, for some time drinking only water. Air. And they are obvious aradhayan, worshipping Idas Patim, the Supreme Lord, who is a master of the Vedic mantras, with the mantram, with the mantra, obvious and the practicing the mantras. What is that mantra? Is the next shloka. Om Namo Narayanaya Purushaya Mahatmane Vishuddha Sattvadishnyaya Mahahamsaya Dhimahi. So this is a mantra they are chanting. So in the Vedic mantras, it always starts with the pranava. Pranava is none other than the sound called Om. Namo Narayanaya. The word Narayana next comes. Then who is that Narayana? He is a Purushaya Mahatmane. Purusha. Who is Purusha means one who is the enjoyer is called Purusha. The supreme person, the enjoyer is Purusha. And Mahatmane, who is Mahatma, is Mahatma. We are all Atma, but Krishna is called Mahatma, the exalted super soul. And why he is called Mahatma? Because Vishuddha Sattva Deshnyaya. That is situated in transcendence. There are three gunas are there, Sattva Guna, Rajo Guna, Tamo Guna. But beyond these three gunas, there is Vishuddha Sattva. What is Vishuddha Sattva? This pure mode of goodness. Pure mode of goodness. Vishuddha Sattva. Shuddha means pure. Vishuddha means extremely pure. The Vishuddha Sattva, Deshnyaya, one who is intelligence, one whose personality is situated in pure mode of goodness or in a transcendental level. Mahahamsaya. Krishna is called as Hamsa. Why? Because the Hamsa swan never takes anything with substandard. If you give water and milk mixed, the Hamsa, the swan, takes only the milk portion and leaves out the water. Similarly, Krishna is never attracted by anything lower. He always situated in the transcendental abode. Dhimahi, we offer our obeisances. So this is a prayer offered by the sons of Daksha Prajapati. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada beautifully explaining about the two aspects. One aspect is, there are two things are there in our life. One is Ishta Prapti, what you want to achieve in life. Anishta Nivruti, what has to be avoided in our life. For example, what is Ishta Prapti in general? People wants to be comfortable. They want to get good food, good sleep, good clothes. They want to be nicely taken care. These are all Ishta Prapti. Anishta Nivruti, what is unavoidable things? Too much cold, too much heat, or diseases, or debts, all these things are avoidable items. So we want to avoid unnecessary troubles and also want to achieve comforts and happiness. So these two things on which the world is revolving around. So spiritualists also have these two things. Ishta Prapti, Anishta Nivruti. So here the methodology of getting the Ishta Prapti. What is that methodology? What is the Ishta here? Achieving Krishna's lotus feet. Achieving Krishna's abode. Achieving Krishna's mercy. So what is the process for that? Chanting of the mantra. Om Namo Narayanaya Purushaya Mahatmane Vishuddha Sattva Dishnyaya Mahahamsaya Dhimahi. This is the mantra one should practice. Abhyasan Aradhayan Mantram Abhyasyante Idaspati. So they are practicing this mantra chanting. And not only that, one is doing the activity for receiving the Ishta, but also one should perform certain practice of austerities. Why? That gives us Anishta Nivruti. Anishta Nivruti means it avoids us getting into trouble. So what are those things? Eating the bona fide eatables, drinking the bona fide drinkables, and accepting things which are favorable for advancing in spiritual life, and avoiding things which are not favorable. So this is called austerities. So why we are performing this? These austerities are mentioned because these austerities will avoid us getting anishtas. So unavoidable things, not getting into troublesome life, in order to avoid all the unwanted difficulties in our life, we have to perform some austerities. So Prabhupada in the purport, he speaks about both these things. That from this verse it apparent that chanting of the Maha Mantra or Vedic mantras must be accompanied by severe austerities. So do's and don'ts. One is a positive approach. For Ishta Prapti, there is a positive approach. And also there is a indirect negative approach for Anishta Nivruti. So what is a positive approach? Do's. What one should do? One should chant Krishna's name. One should chant some mantra given by the spiritual master. And also, not only that, one should also do the don'ts. One should also avoid the wrong activities. The don'ts are also emphasized. Vidhi Nisheda. Vidhi means positive approach. Nisheda means things to be avoided. So what are those things? Srila Prabhupada mentions that we are not qualified, we cannot perform tapasya like Daksha Prajapati, sons eating only water or eating only air or drinking only water. So we should perform some austerities that should be, that should never be given up. So Srila Prabhupada, very practically, he is telling us what we can do. So Prabhupada mentioned these four regulative principles of spiritual life. They are the sufficient austerities we can perform. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. So these are the austerities. Why it is called as austerities? Maybe people who are coming from some traditional families or coming from pious background, this is maybe a normal life. But if we look around the world, actually it is so overwhelming, you know, very difficult to digest that many these things are becoming normal nowadays. Yesterday, 2 days back, I was traveling in a train. There are respectable families. They are coming to North Indian family. But while ordering for some dinner, they were eating eggs and other things. But I was kind of, and who is eating? Small kids, 4-year-old boy kids, they were giving out. And the kids, they have no other choice. Whatever parents giving, they have to eat. The whole bogey was smelling. I was just thinking, we have to get out of there. And the evening dinner time, another person was ordering some chicken in the train. So I was thinking that, my God, you know, the AC compartment was smelling. So I was so scared, you know, and vomit. So I requested that person that, can you please avoid this particular dinner today evening? I just spontaneously, without any second thought, as soon as the person came for order and he was asking, give me a chicken for the dinner. So immediately I told him, kindly sir, can you avoid this dinner just for today, if it is okay for you. So somehow or other, he looked at me and he started laughing that, you know, how anybody can ask, command what another person should eat. But somehow or other, he thought for a minute and thought for a second. Then he said, okay, cancel my order, give me some. I'm vegetarian. She said, cancel my order. I was completely relieved. Okay, this person is still have some kind of, you know, respect. But then I thought that I may becoming very insensitive of people's needs. So I said that, but my dear sir, you eat something, don't avoid it completely. So then you started laughing, and all the bogey, everybody started laughing, you know. Of course, finally he took some vegetarian pulao or something. So I thought, I said, but I was thinking, as soon as you come out of the train, of the temple, wherever we go, even in pious place in North India, in India also, it's very difficult. Everywhere it's a rampant, you know, eating any all noxious things. And even if you don't want to get contaminated with these things, it's all pervaded atmosphere is filled with sinful activities. If you turn this side, some people are eating eggs. If you turn the other side, some people are eating chicken. If you are, no, this is at least, we are not so much in touch with the outside world, such as companies and all these things. Here that, you know, when the respectable families, when they go to workplace, it's a culture now. You know, you have to, as a social custom, that you have to drink some liquor. Even the girls, even the women have to smoke cigarette or drink. And I was in Bangalore a few days back. Then one family, they came from US back to India. So they were telling that we came back to India because our kids were in US and they are studying. So in order to save them, in order to protect them, we came to India for their education. Then they said that they put their daughter in American, see, in Ahmedabad, some college. So there, his daughter being raised in Krishna conscious atmospheres, she is going to college wearing tilak. And all the girls who are studying with her, they were kind of alienating her because she is wearing tilak and she is not drinking. Sometimes the girls are they drink also in the college campus, and sometimes they smoke also. And she is the only girl, and there is another friend of her, she is a Muslim girl. So they say that all these Gujaratis and Marwadi kids who are, came there for studies in that atmosphere, they are all doing all these things. So this girl was feeling alienated, and she is calling her mother, please speak to me, that I am being alienated, I don't want to indulge in all these things, but they are picking me as that I am a hard man out here. And so it's such a, and this, she is struggling, and only solution she has is to call her mother and talk to her, I want some association recognition. So in spite of having a great training and great background, you go out, such an atmosphere of surcharge with simple activities. And it's not that all these girls who are studying in the college, they have intention, they have addiction to all these things. That's worse. The irony is that nobody is born with these addictions, but for no reason they are caught up in these habits because of the social pressure, all this kind of so-called modern the way of living. So the parents are telling that we brought our kids from USA back to India, but even in India this kind of things are creeped in. So then I said, why did you brought them from US to India? Then India also having the same problem. So what is the solution for this? And the parents said that in India, it is creeping in now, but at least one thing in India is not so rampant that like in the US or West, that association of opposite sex. So these things are not much rampant. So at least for that reason, we brought our kids here. So it's like a completely, when you're hearing all these stories, yeah, lost touch with the college life for long back. So it was simultaneously depressing at the same time. It gives the Shastras are very clear how they know about all these things. And when you think about the solutions, the Shastra, and the great acharyas who sees the Shastras and the world together. So they see how to tackle the situation. So if you give them, when Bhagavatam speaks about such kind of description of Rakshasans who's performing Abhakshaha Katichit Masan Katichit Vayubhojana, these are alienated from the present society. Nobody can even dream of these things, think of these things. So how acharyas, they were seeing all these anomalies in this age of Kali. And even in this situation, they are giving some solution which are tangible, which are practicable, practicable. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport here speaks about that. It is impossible to perform such kind of austerities. So they were also trying to use simplified austerities, practice of spiritual life. Or this mantra such as Om Namo Narayanaya Purushaya Mahatmane Vishuddha Sattva Dishnaya Mahahamsaya Dhimahi. This mantra, if you chant 16 rounds, how difficult it is. The pranava is involved, Omkara is involved, means you cannot chant it any time. You have to take a bath, and you have to be pure. In a pure atmosphere, only can chant. So many difficulties. So, but the acharyas given a very simple mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Simple Mahamantra. That there is no Tatra Pita Niyamita Smarane Nakala. There is no hard and fast rules for chanting holy name. And anybody can chant without any kind of time, place, circumstances. So much of concession is given. And regarding austerities, one cannot chant all the time, 24 hours. Hare Krishna Mahamantra. One cannot worship Krishna 24 hours. We had to lead our life. So leading our life in a, as much as possible, pure way. So that requires austerities. What kind of austerities? So Srila Prabhupada writes that whatever is going inside your mouth, that has to be checked. So that is regarding eating, you know. So eating is divided into two. One is we eat foodstuffs, we drink drink water and so on. So that eating and drinking is should be regulated. So eating is regulated by avoiding meat. So one should avoid meat. So eating of meat is egg and fish, all these things has to be avoided. So that is a kind of austerity. Regarding drinking, that avoid drinking liquor. So this is kind of what two principles the Shastra is telling. Another two things, gambling and illicit sex. So gambling, that one try to quickly acquire money to indulge in sense gratification, that kind of accumulation of wealth should be avoided. Cheating propensities, that should be avoided. Illicit sex and sense gratification. Srila, the Shastra says that the biggest pleasure in this world is sexual pleasure. Stri sukham paramam sukham, Shastra says. So the whole world is running around these principles of sense gratification. So that has to be regulated by the institution of Vivaha Samstha, marriage institution. So that is called these four pillars. So in this way, by these simple austerities, sometimes people perform many other austerities, very difficult austerities, you know, such as 40 days of fasting from different foods. And sometimes they perform austerities of climbing, walking to the holy pilgrimage. Or sometimes they perform austerities of climbing on the big mountain. All these things. But then if you see what they're eating, you know, they eat all kinds of nonsense stuffs. So basic austerities are, but eat proper foodstuffs. But instead of doing the simple austerities, one may try to perform all very difficult things. But that's why we require Shastras. We require Acharya's guidance. That Yam Shastra Vidhim Ustrajya Vartate Kamakara. That one, when somebody concocts certain austerities without the help of the Shastras and Acharyas, then it will become an impediment in spiritual life. One time, one devotee was walking with Prabhupada in the morning walk. So Prabhupada would go every day morning walk. And during Prabhupada's morning walk time, one devotee wanted to join Prabhupada's parties. He was delayed, so he came running and joined the party without slipper. So Prabhupada was walking. After certain distance, Prabhupada looked back and this devotee is walking without slippers. So Prabhupada said, looking back, that, you know, why you are not wearing slippers? And the devotee was, you know, did not say anything. Prabhupada said that we have got sufficient austerities to perform, you know. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. So this is sufficient austerity. So don't need to concoct any extra further austerities. So sometimes the people concoct austerities and they leave out the basic roots. That kind of thing comes because of the concoction, mental product of the fertile brain, Prabhupada sometimes criticizes. But one should perform the injection of the Shastras, then later on top of that one may do something else. But then basic austerities they don't perform, like in deity worship, for example. This Krishna Charanivas was telling that many times devotees want to do so many, especially new devotees want to increase the deity worship standard and they want to introduce more and more new things. But he said that already Shastras are given 16 Upacharas. 16 Upacharas, Sodash Upacharas, 16 items to be offered. And various regulations are there. And devotees don't bother about those things. But instead of doing that, suddenly they'll find some nice new article available in the market, in a fashion show or in a shop. And they want to offer that to their Gauranitaya, Jagannath Balaraya Subhadra. Or they want to introduce something new, new article or something. But he said, already the Shastras have given so many regulations, so many injunctions for the deity worship. And you don't have time to do that, neither you have got any interest to do that. But instead of doing those things, why you have to concoct something new? So first do the basic things, then you can think of if you can do all those basic things, then you can add something more. These Sodash Upacharas, first do those things, then we can think of everything. But so the austerity is concerned, Srila Prabhupada has very intelligently given us the basic principles. What are those things? These four regulative principles. Why these things are called austerities? Because the human tendency, especially in Kali Yuga, is based around breaking these regulative principles. Meat eating, intoxication, all these things. So it is very rampant, even those who are in a high family atmosphere, they are pulled into these things. So by avoiding these things, so what is going inside our mouth has to be checked. That's what the Prabhupada's given us Kanti Mala. It's like a Kanti Mala is like a guard in the pathway of our the esophagus, we call that, the eating hole. So what is to be gone inside the Kanti Mala is supposed to remind us that below this, that is not offered to Krishna, should not enter. That also not just which is offered to Krishna, but we should offer to Krishna also the property. One time one devotee is traveling in an airplane. So one air hostess was giving food to all the passengers. And she happened to be some kind of a person who knows about the devotees' habit. So she was giving different kinds of food to different people. And she came to the devotee who was not eating anything. And she told him, and she came and told this devotee passenger that, I know you are Hare Krishna. You only eat that which is offered to Krishna. So I will give you some juice you can take. So then the devotee told the air hostess, actually, you are wrong. And he said, we don't eat that which is offered to Krishna. And this air hostess became surprised and shocked and said, no, I always thought that the Hare Krishna devotees, they only eat what is offered to Krishna. And the devotee said, no, that is wrong. The air hostess got surprised. Maybe she thought that she didn't understand this kind of devotees properly. So she was confused. And then the air hostess asked the devotee, so if you say that you don't eat what is offered to Krishna, then what do you eat? So the devotee said that we eat not things offered to Krishna, but we eat things which are cooked for Krishna and offered to Krishna. So, what is the big difference between these two? So, the devotee was explaining that we eat things which are offered to Krishna means that is one standard. But we eat things which are cooked for Krishna and offered for Krishna. That's a different standard. What is the difference? So the difference is that one may just get something from the market or some from the hotel or some sweet shop and offer that to Krishna. That is one standard. But another standard is that one is cooking with bhakti, with devotion, that this is going to be eaten by Krishna. And then such kind of cooking is done, and the devotee, after cooking with devotion, is again offering that item devotion to Krishna. That is another standard. So, so this devotee is saying that he is preaching to their hostess that that the highest standard is that one should eat food which is actually cooked in devotion, in the mood that Krishna is going to eat this. Sometimes devotees, in the name of you know, easy going life, you may buy something from the hotel or a shop, you know. It shouldn't become a habit, you know. Okay, this doesn't contain onion garlic, so buy and just chant Vishnu, 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 offered and eat it, you know. At least one should have some kind of if it's unavoidable situation, at least one should have some kind of regret in the heart that, you know, this is a substandard I'm following, but the real standard is that I should eat. The Kanti Mala is a kind of a god who supposed to stop us that I shouldn't eat that is actually not cooked for Krishna. So that is the kind of understanding. So we see that eating is considered something very, very important. Even though we have got five senses, through eye we are seeing different things, through ears we are hearing different things, through the nose we are smelling different things, through the tongue we are tasting different things. But the tongue is considered one of the most important inlet we have got. So these are different inlets. So eyes, we are getting in all the different forms. Through the nose, we are letting in all different smells. Through the ears, we are letting in different kinds of sounds. Through the tongue, we are letting in. Through mouth, we are letting in different kinds of eatables. But in the four regulative principles, intoxication and meat eating, it directed towards our mouth and the tongue, isn't it? So why this tongue is considered the controlling or regulating the tongue is considered important? By the tongue has two business purposes. One is vibrating Krishna's names and tasting Krishna's prasad. These are the two functions of the tongue. So why these two things? One is positive thing is chanting Krishna's names, and the don'ts is that let the tongue tasting anything which is not offered to Krishna. So these are the do's and don'ts. So why the tongue is given more importance? Because through the tongue, through the mouth, we are eating different foods. And food, what we are eating, is actually bringing us, it is enhances our life force, and in turn gives us strength, and in turn we become, our body become healthy and strong, and mind becomes healthy, and we think, and we make our personality, we perform actions. So everything is starting from the tongue. You know, good things are bad things. That's why in the Shastras it is said, Atashri Krishna Madhinam Bhavid Gakhyam Indrehi Sevan Mukhehi Jihvado. It starts from the tongue. So even many of our Krishna consciousness, you know, it started with our tongue, eating Krishna Prasad. And not only started, it is going on because of the tongue, isn't it? Whenever we go for programs, Prasadam is something, you know, it's always, everybody is excited about it. Evergreen service to Krishna is from the beginning and the middle and the end is Krishna's Prasad, Mahaprasad. So, Ahara Shuddha Sattva Shuddhi. So why this eating is given importance? Because while eating, what we are eating is makes our character, personality. Vishayera annakaila dushta hoilamman, that the eating habits has to be very, very strict. In some strict families that you may take other things like you may take money from others as a charity. You may take, some rice from others or grains from others. But when it comes regarding cooked food, that they are very, very careful not to eat any food by others. So why this is considered like that? Because that the food actually determines your personality, your character. So Srila Prabhupada has given us, Prabhupada basically, he understood the root cause of the problem in this Kali Yuga. The thousands and thousands of faults in Kali Yuga. Kale dosha nidhe rajan. The dosha nidhi, it is a motion of all faults. But Prabhupada, the expert at diagnosis, he diagnosed the root cause of the problem. What is the root cause? The root cause is four things, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. So when you stop this, the root cause, then all other problems are more or less subsided. It automatically subsides. So in the among these four things, when we are talking about using our tongue, these two regulative principles basically directed towards eating and drinking. So such kind of behavior we see in our Vedic culture, they are very, very careful about this. One time, Shripada Ramanujacharya was traveling from Srirangam to Tirupati. So while traveling on the way, one of the disciples of Shripada Ramanujacharya, Gurasa disciple, he was asking Ramanujacharya and disciples that, please come to our home and take some prasad. So Ramanujacharya sends his disciples and they make arrangements and they all go there and they take prasad. What they have taken is nicely boiled milk, and he offers the milk prasadam to Ramanujacharya and all the disciples. And he was very happy that he posted his spiritual master and the disciples. And the spiritual master also took the milk and he blessed him and they went ahead. And after the yatra, as well, while returning, this disciple again sees Sripada Ramanujacharya, their party. Again, he requests him. He says that, my dear Acharya, that last time you have given me mercy and I offered when I offered milk, and you also, all of you like the milk which I gave. So please, once again, mercifully, please come to my place and please accept the milk which I offer you. Like that he was asking. So then Ramanujacharya also agreed and he goes to his home and he offers the milk and he accepts the milk and takes it. So, and then they continue their yatra further back from Tirupati. And next day, Shripada Ramanujacharya was fasting without eating it. So then the disciples asked, my dear Acharya, why you are fasting today? Why you are not eating anything? So Ramanujacharya said that I am fasting because I have taken some food which is not in order of goodness. So they were wondering that yesterday we traveled all the way and only place where Guru Maharaj took food is this disciple's home. The disciple is a Vaishnava, initiated devotee. And he offered nothing but milk. And our spiritual master is telling that I ate yesterday some rajasic food. So in order to perform atonement, in order to nullify that, I perform some atonement by fasting. So then the disciples were confused that what kind of rajasic food is there. Then Shripada Ramanujacharya said that, I only drank milk yesterday. That is also in the house of this Vaishnava. But that milk is rajasic. This is it. How the milk can be rajasic? Milk is more of goodness. How it can be rajasic? Ramanujacharya explained that, see, the disciple, when he invited us for prasadam in his home, the attitude of the devotee is that of, he is saying that, while going, I offered you milk. you all liked it. So now you are returning back from the yatra. So now also you should please come to my home and I will offer you milk. And you should accept my milk. So he said in that attitude, in his invitation, there was so much of I is involved, mine is involved. I am offering milk. Please come to my home. You like the milk which I gave. So he said that this is a subtle attitude of ahankar. I noticed it. So, but as a spiritual master, my duty that I should engage him in service. So I accepted and I offered my prayers for him. But nevertheless, the food which I have taken is not in mode of goodness. So as atonement, I am fasting. So, of course, he didn't tell these things to his disciples, but he must have done the required things to teach the disciple also. But from the viewpoint of his point of view, Ramanujacharya's point of view, he was very careful in the matter of what we are eating. Of course, this is something very, very high standard, which we cannot even imagine. We can't even fathom it. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu criticized Raghunath Das Goswami's father, and his uncle, Hiranya Majumdar, Govardhan Majumdar, as Vishayis. But these Hiranya Majumdar, Govardhan Majumdar, who are these devotees, were practically the sponsor for the major expenditure of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Advaita Acharya, and in the home. They have a deities which are worshipped by Yadunandana Acharya. So all stalwart devotees who have been helped by them. They are in the Sattvic family. They are the great devotees of Advaita Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu could call them as Vishayis. So of course Mahaprabhu came from the very great point of view. We shouldn't be doing like that. But the understanding is that how the great acharyas and great devotees standard what they are said. When Raghunath Das Goswami was using the gold coins and the money given by his own parents in Jagannath Puri. So, and Raghunath Das Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, was leading a life of great austerities. So, knowing, understanding this, his parents sent money to Jagannath Puri. And those money was given to Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami, utilizing his parents' money, was offering fees to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Abhindan. Mahaprabhu also accepted those fees. But a little later, Mahaprabhu asked Raghunath Das Goswami, why I should use the money of these people to offer fees to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? You know, so then he stopped that and he was begging alms in the Simhadwara. So the Mahaprabhu was asking, why nowadays Raghunath Das Goswami doesn't invite me for feast in his place? And the devotee said that he was not so much inclined to offer you feast with the money of those who are doing some kind of business. So Mahaprabhu was very happy and satisfied. So that time he speaks like this. So Mahaprabhu was pleased when Raghunath Das Goswami was eating the food which is offered to Jagannath, been given by the passerby Simhadwara. And even he was more pleased when he was eating the food which is thrown, Mahaprabhu is thrown and rejected by the cows. And Mahaprabhu came and, Raghunath Das Goswami would collect those food grains which are thrown in the one particular place. And the Telangana cows would come and eat them. And even what is rejected by the cows because they become so bad. And that has been collected by Raghunath Das for somebody who washes them in the water and eat those rice. And Mahaprabhu came and took those rice. And Mahaprabhu was more ecstatic than eating the feast offered by Raghunath Das Goswami with the wealth of parents. So what Mahaprabhu is teaching here is that that the purity of prasadam, the pure devotion of Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting Krishna's name while he was giving feast He is also chanting Krishna's name while begging in the Simhadwaram. He is also chanting same Krishna's name while eating the remnants of food which is rejected by the cows. So the chanting of the holy name is going on, but Mahaprabhu is pleased more than ever when he was only eating the food rejected by the cows. And the food is offered, Mahaprabhu taking from Raghunath Das Goswami, which is he collected from the cows. So even though the chanting is holy going on, but still Mahaprabhu is pleased with Raghunath Das Goswami more when he was rejected the offerings by his own parents, rejected offerings, rejected the succulent Mahaprasadam offered by passerby in Simhadwar. And when he is eating these remnants which are thrown in the corner, which even cows could not eat. So these things, why Mahaprabhu is happy and pleased more than ever before? Because it shows the purity, it shows the intent of Raghunath Das Goswami that complete dependence is showed on Krishna. So along with the chanting of the holy name is a constant, was there with Raghunath Das Goswami, whether in Panihati, even before when he was in his home, after he got married in Panihati, and while taking, while offering his parents money in charity, while sitting in the Simhadwaram, while eating, and also while collecting the food grains, Mahaprasad Jagannath, which is rejected even by the cows. So all those time chanting is going on. But it appears that Raghunath Das Goswami gradually increased his renunciation, detachment in a higher and higher and higher degree. To an unimaginable level. So that means Srila Prabhupada, as he writes in this purport here. So the purport, I lost the purport. Anyway, the purport in the beginning line, it says that it is apparent, yes. From these verses, it is apparent that the chanting of the Mahamantra, Vedic Mantras, must be accompanied by severe austerity. So austerity principle is always is there. So we see the Raghunath Das Goswami's life, that chanting, along with the chanting of the holy name, he is actually performing some austerities. And even Dhruva Maharaj, you know, along with the austerities performing, along with the chanting of the holy name, he is performing austerities. So the both things are there. But when there is a dry austerity comes without Krishna's consciousness, and that is contempt, you know. You cannot imagine, there are unimaginable austerities performed even now, nowadays also, you know. So many, some community of people, they perform in unimaginable austerities, fasting for 40 days. And not even wearing a single piece of cloth in their body. You know, they are many, many sadhus are there. And staying in a cold weather, eating frugal food. So this unimaginable austerity they do. But when you talk about Krishna, they may not even believe in Krishna. So that is useless austerity. That is only torturing oneself. So that is kind of austerity, dry austerity. You cannot achieve Krishna by that kind of austerities. Na medhaya na bhuta shrutena. One cannot impress Krishna with their austerities. But at the same time, vairagya vidya nijabhakti yoga, Shikshartamesha Purusha Purana, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. And Mahaprabhu came here to teach us Vairagya Vidya. So that austerity which is congenial to devotional service, that has to be performed. When we don't do that, then the bhakti becomes very diluted. And it may become very boring to perform sometimes. So there has to be some kind of austerity system there. So that kind of habits, especially in eating habits, starting with the eating habits should be maintained as much as possible. Of course, I don't know, different devotees may have different situations, but one should at least know the standard. What is the standard? That I should eat foodstuffs which is actually cooked for Krishna and offered for Krishna. Of course, when you go to the very high standard that Prabhupada speaks about, that which is grown for Krishna, that which is cultivated for Krishna, that which is transported for Krishna, that which is cooked by for Krishna by the devotees, that which is offered to Krishna by the devotees, and that which is served by Krishna for all the devotees, and that kind of food is eaten by the devotees in the company of devotees, that is highest standard. Of course, during our practical lifestyle, working outside is not possible. But at least one should know the standard, you know. Sometimes people, they don't even know the standard. Everything is okay in the name of preaching, in the name of practicality, in the name of, you know, accept the reality and so many things. But at least one should know what is the standard. One should at least not enjoy the situation in the name that, you know, this is practicality, I know the charge like that. One should have some kind of feeling regret. Okay, I'm going for a preaching program, so I have to please them read. But one should at least careful not to enjoy the atmosphere, you know, what to do, this is a situation. One should have some standard. So these are the austerities. So along with these austerities, proper eating habits, proper how the eating habits can be, how, why the eating habit is given. Because when you eat proper food, then the mind becomes properly controlled. The mind and the eating relationship. Ahara suddhehe sattva suddhi. Sattva suddhehe dhruva smriti. Dhruva smriti vipralambha mokshaha. Then it leads to liberation. So when the food habits are proper, then it leads to purified mind. Purified mind leads to proper intelligence. Proper intelligence leads to proper discrimination. Proper discrimination leads to good and bad, and that leads to spiritual perfection. So that is given a proper understanding in the acharyas, you know, behavior and their lives. So Srila Prabhupada practically started Krishna consciousness movement based on prasadam. So prasadam, eating habits, and chanting of the holy name. So these are simple things Srila Prabhupada said. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Take prasadam. Take care of your health. So Krishna consciousness, Sanatana Dharma, never neglects bodily needs. But in fact, it actually takes care of the body so much. I don't know whether I discussed these things before in this group or not. The whole Vedic Shastras are designed such a way that the wholesome life is taken care of. There is a care for body is given, care for mind is given, care for the society is given, protection from the external enemies are, you know, how we should be protected by the, you know, various shastras, how the king should behave. The king is protecting the society from external enemies, and the health is being protected by the diseases by the direction of the shastra. So how the king should rule the country, shastras are giving direction. How one should take care of the body, the Ayurvedic shastra is giving us direction. How a person should be take care of his mind by indulging in sattvic sense gratification. Sattvic Krishna conscious sense gratification. There is a nice place for music is given, dance is given. There is a nice place for instruments are given. All these things are converges in Krishna consciousness. So we see in India, in the Sanatana Dharma, that every field of arts and culture converges in with Krishna. We go to the temple, you'll see beautiful sculptures are there. All the sculptors who are maybe in the Varnashrama Dharma, in the last rung, Shudras, but their service is culminated in temple in Krishna. Beautiful temple architecture you will see. And there you will see beautiful dance performance. So those who are expert in dance, they come to the temple perform dance. And those who are expert in cooking, so they perform cooking for Krishna, the temple. And those who are expert in, you know, chanting Vedic mantras. So Brahmanas are engaged in worshipping Krishna in the temple. And the spiritual masters who are sannyasis, their whole life is centered around Krishna's temple, the worship. In this way, all the four varnas and ashramas, all the talent, all the techniques, everything is centered around the language, the culture, And that's the beautiful, anybody knows poetry, they sing Sri Krishna's glories, Ram's glories, centered around the temple. And those who are expert in performing nice cloth design or artwork, they are also engaged in producing cloths for depicting Krishna's, you know, pastime, Krishna's cultural dress they make. And anybody is expert in painting, they paint Krishna's different lords' pastimes. So all the culture, art, your talent, everything is converges in Krishna. Even those who are expert in expert in fighting, they are also, you know, does everything for Krishna's sake. In fact, previously when kings fight with each other, we recently visited a temple in Karnataka in India. There the temple called Belur and some other temples. So the main temple, the altar is built by one particular king. And later sometime there was a fight between this king and the neighboring king. And the neighbor king defeated this person. Now the kingdom came to another king. So he is supposed to be the enemy of the previous king who built the main temple. And when the next king came, the temple developed further. So he further developed the main altar with producing more halls. So then again some dynasty, some fight happened. This king was personally defeated by another king. And he came and he became the king. Now the kingdom is lost by the previous king. Now when he became the king, he developed that particular temple in even further more. You know, he built more halls around it, more walls. So even though there is enmity or fight between who will rule the kingdom, but everybody, there is no problem for the worship of Krishna or the Varnashrama culture. Everybody, even though they have got a competition or enmity between who will rule the kingdom, everybody, there is no competition or there is no second thought regarding the goal of life, developing this culture. So in this way, that things, when things are going around Krishna, then the society develops, the family develops, and the individual develops. But when Krishna is removed, then everything becomes null and void. So Prabhupada says that in India, Krishna has been neglected, Ram has been neglected. But because of the negligence, what was surrounding Krishna, the culture, even though it is there, but it is something like a fan which is running without electricity. So fan is running because of the previous electricity was there. Electricity is gone, appears to be running, but it is slowly diminishing. So everything is valuable because only if the Krishna is in the center. So at the same time, when we keep Krishna in the center, there should be culture and there should be behavior pattern which is congenial for Krishna consciousness. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is discussing here. Two things. One is bhakti, that is primarily with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And also there should be our life behavior pattern which is congenial for chanting Hare Krishna. That is called as tapasya, austerities. That austerity is various forms. But for us in this age of Kali, it is simplified as this four regulative principle: no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. When these two things goes together, then our bhakti increases like a with proper speed. But if there is a difficulty in the behavior pattern, then the progress of bhakti will become very difficult, and we cannot progress in bhakti happily. So we become very, our life will become very complicated and we learn to grow difficult. So there has to be that's why the program is given in with a proper shastric injection, the guidance. It is well thought about the program. So before we complicate this program by accepting unnecessary austerities, one should understand that one should perform the required things first. Proper eating habits, proper drinking habits, and proper way of acquiring money and leading a satisfied life within one's family, and these things are done, then later and perform your bhakti. Later on, we perform extra studies and all that. I am going to perform this Bhishma Panchak. I am going to perform this Prata, that Prata. But that's fine. But one has to have, first of all, an IVET, anything and anywhere available, chanting Vishnu Vishnu, and I perform Bhishma Panchak. Better you perform those basic things properly, and then you can perform extra other things. I'll offer my deities some new, you know, mudras and new tantras, mantras. But first of all, try to perform the given prescribed rules of Shodash Upachara. And top of that, if you have time, you can do it. So one should have proper guide understanding. And here Srila Prabhupada, even though he's talking about the Daksha Prajapati's son who performing severe austerity, but Srila Prabhupada makes this pastime of Daksha Prajapati relevant to us, that this particular mantra is so difficult, but Srila Prabhupada is giving us Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it's more easier. And instead of performing austerities of not eating, eating only air and water, Prabhupada is giving us simple program of it, taking nice Krishna's prasadam and avoiding all unnecessary, you know, so-called luxuries of modern day life. Hare Krishna. I think 7 o'clock. I think I should stop here, Mataji. That's it.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri.
So it's stop here.
Stop all for coming.
Today I spoke on something very simple, basic things. Any discussion or questions or comments? Raj.
Many points. Atma, Mahatma, Nisheda. He spoke so many cool pastimes from many dear pastime and Mahaprabhu's pastime. And I love your incident, your personal incident of train, Prabhu, that you narrated. That was beautiful, Prabhu. I was thinking you saved three things. Saved yourself, Prabhu, because it's so, you know, when somebody anything, right? Very difficult for us to even see that. But you saved the person too, was going to eat. That is a good save, you know. He ate that day vegetarian. And you save the chicken, Prabhu. Murga Vachalia. And Prabhu, you are very right, Prabhu. As soon as we come out of this Bhakti Sangha, or, you know, our regular life of sadhana, chanting, or reading the scriptures, as soon as we go out, Prabhu, there is a completely different word, Prabhu. Sometime I feel angry, but other time, Prabhu, I personally, okay, I was there sometime too, you know. I was implying that we didn't do some time, but now the addictions are changing, Prabhu. We want that addiction of Harinam. Now we want that addiction of reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. So hopefully Krishna will be merciful to everyone and give them real knowledge, because that has no end, Prabhu. We all know that, you know, we have that much money, there is no end. Class, Prabhu. Class, Prabhu, is three sukham param sukham. This is what you said, Prabhu.
No, I couldn't hear your last sentence.
Is three sukham param sukham? Because I was thinking, is three sukham param dukham? So I don't know where that comes from, Prabhu. But yeah, Prabhu, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful class, Prabhu. Loved your class. We always love your classes, Prabhu. Thank you for coming on the call. Dear devotees, if anybody question and realization, Prabhuji, please go ahead. The very dear devotee, His Grace, Prahlad Anand Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanva Pranam.
Dhanva Pranam, Raj Prabhuji. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. Dhanva Pranam to Prabhuji and every devotee on the call here. I just want to make a small reference which came to my mind about the whole lecture today. Sri Prabhupada used to emphasize one thing, that Krishna Bhakti is very, very easy. And then he added that it is not cheap. Okay, so it all comes to sincerity, sticking to those regular principles with utmost sincerity. You know, we cannot make adjustment. As soon as we make adjustment, we are making our bhakti cheap. This is what Prabhupada never advocated. He said, your bhakti should be sincere and it should never become cheap by, you know, adjusting according to our own opinions and like that. So that was a little thing which came to my mind and I thought of submitting it. Thank you very much again to Prabhuji who gave an excellent discourse today. Thank you very much. Very well.
Raj Prabhu, you're muted.
Hey Krishna.
We can hear you just a little bit now. It's better, yes.
Sudhakar Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. It was a nice lecture actually on the Prasad. I had a query, but not related to this topic. Is it possible to ask that one?
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. Prabhuji, I just want to know more about aarti. Like, you know, when we do the aarti, what kind of a bhav and what is the significance a devotee should have when doing the aarti? Like that. If you can enlighten me on that one, it will be great helpful.
Well, aarti, the mode of deity worship is that even though the deity worship is not the main spiritual process in this age of Kali, holy name, but the deity worship nevertheless is recommended on the basis of Pancharatriki principle. Especially for Grihasthas, the deity worship is recommended. Why? Because it is have two important function. One is it regulates a person. Second is it maintains, gives us a cleanliness. So regulation and cleanliness is one of the important benefits of deity worship. And the mode of deity worship is that I am not the enjoyer, Krishna is the enjoyer. So enjoying propensity, especially for grihasthas, is being countered by the deity worship process. So deity worship, whether it is in the form of aarti or offering, so that gives us a platform by which the devotees become clean and they become regulated, and also the spirit of enjoyment, that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, that becomes diminishes gradually. How this happens? When you have deity worship, you have to have some kind of cleanliness. Chanting of the holy name, there is not so much rules and regulation. You can be in any state, you can chant Krishna's name. There's the advantages there. But then devotees who has to have some, you know, when you're not so much pure, you have to have some purity of mind, purity of physical body. So that comes when you do deity worship. So deity worship demands certain cleanliness. You have to take bath. You have to have some kind of purity. So that because of the deity worship, you become somewhat clean, taking bath regularly. Then it regulates your life. So holy name you can chant anytime, any place, no rules and regulations. Tends to become lazy. When deity worship is there, then you have to offer Krishna food at a particular time. You have to offer aarti, not at night, 12 o'clock. You have to offer aarti in the evening times, morning times, like that. So you become regulated. Then the tendency of, you know, I am the enjoyer, whatever food cooked in the home, so it's cooked for me, you know. Whatever food I am eating, I am the enjoyer, that spirit is also counted by deity worship. No, I am not the enjoyer. First enjoyer is Krishna. And because I am serving Krishna as his servant, I am also can partake. I also can join in Krishna's enjoyment. So in this way, so the arati is a part of that deity worship. So with arati, what's happening is that we are offering to a great person, a respected person, certain ingredients, you know. So we are offering a conchal is blown when a great personality comes, then the conchal is blown. Even the outside world also, you know, when prime minister or some celebrity comes, they create a lot of sound. So that person is coming. Like that, we also, some sound, conchal is blown. It's considered as the ether, you know. And then the lamp is offered, considered as a fire. So when a great personality comes to the outside world, also they you know, give so much of lighting arrangements and all this. Krishna comes also, we offer nice lamp, you know. The fire element is offered to Krishna. Then we offer, you know, water, argya. That is also offered to a very great personality. Argya is offered as a respect. Whenever a guest comes to our home, the basic protocol is that we should offer them a seat to sit, offer little water, or if we don't even have those things, at least offer our smiling smiles, offer our you know, two hands, folded hands. Nobody can say that I don't have even two hands also. Even if you don't have hands also, please you can smile. Something should be offered. So like that, for a great personality, we are offering these things. The lamp is offered and argyam is offered. And we offer nice cloth. The cloth is, yeah, auspicious clothes are waved when that personality comes. Even if you see nowadays in a big sports event also, when somebody express their happiness, they wave their clothes and all, you know. So some cloth is offered to Krishna. So there's a way of recognizing some great personality. So and there is a offering of chamara. The chamara is considered as a royal insignia. The chamara is offered as a matter of a royal insignia, which drives away the flies to a great personality. So of course nowadays these things can be offered in kind of, you know, air condition is offered to a great personality, or some kind of facilities are given. So but in Vedic cultures everything is personal. So chamara is offered. Then peacock feather is offered for a nice breeze. So in Goloka Vrindavan, of course, these things are done in a spontaneous way. In Pancharatra system, there is a regulated way we do those things. In Goloka Vrindavan, instead of a lamp, the champaka flowers come there. They move around Krishna like a lamp. Then the instead of chamara, which is the, and the banyan trees, in our roots, they come and they hang in front of Krishna like a chamara. Instead of you know, man-made peacock feather fan, the peacock themselves come and dances with their feathers, you know, overspread in front of Krishna. So naturally things happen in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's pastimes. But we are when we are doing Vaidhi Bhakti in our stage, we don't have a spontaneous love for Krishna, so we perform these things in a regulated way according to the Shastra. Basically, arati, the spirit of arati is that I am not the enjoyer, Krishna is the enjoyer. I am a small person, Krishna is the greatest personality. I am offering my respects to him. In this way, I declare that I am insignificant servant of Krishna, who is the real enjoyer. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhurtam sarvabhutanam yatvamam shantim vichyati. So that is the principle in arati, basically. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhu. I think you have enlightened me. But I was having this doubt, but I'm sorry, it maybe looks silly, but I thought to just...
No, it's not. It's very important. I understand. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Very beautiful. Helped all of us. Yeah, we should have when we do your worship. It's so blissful. Every morning, my duty is to wake up my Laddu Gopal, and I wake him up There's a small katori where he takes bath, and I dip him up and down, up and down, up and down, and I feel that he is feeling happy. So that gives me happy. Thank you so much for such a beautiful and enlightening class. Your time for coming on the call, Prabhu. Dear devotees, if nobody has any other questions or comments, we can end the class here with permission of Prabhuji. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Hare Bol, Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, also there are so many beautiful comments from Hemi Mataji, Dayananda Gaurhari Prabhuji, from our very amazing devotee, Her Grace Induleha Karuna Mataji. They're all saying beautiful class and they are thanking you, Prabhu, for coming on the call. Thank you, Prabhuji, again. So, dear devotees, let us pay obeisances to Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you,